I came across this saying about communion, and I suppose it's a poem. It says, "Come to the sacred table, not because you must, because you may. Come to testify, not that you are righteous, but that you sincerely love our Jesus Christ and desire to be his true disciple. Come not because you are strong, but because you are weak. Come not because you have any claim on heaven's rewards, but because of your frailty and sin that you stood in. Because of your frailty and sin, you stand in constant need of heaven's mercy and help. Come not to express an opinion, but to seek his presence and for his spirit. Amen." And I'm not sure who wrote that, but it's quite nice. But like the beginning, come to the sacred table, not because you must, but because you may. And it's such a privilege to have communion in order that we can go to Jesus Christ and remember what he's done. Now, communion is a memorial. And if you go down to London or anywhere, there's memorials everywhere of different people. And they're all memorials mainly of pride when you gain something.
Achievement,
thank you. Pride and achievement. And to say that Jesus Christ died on the cross is an achievement, I suppose it is, but it's something that's even better than achievement because he sacrificed himself. But the memorial of Jesus Christ is a memorial of love and sacrifice. Have any of you heard that Christianity is just Chinese whispers? Have you heard that statement before? People don't believe. And really, it's not Chinese whispers, because the intent of Chinese whispers is the message to be corrupt. And the message of Jesus Christ didn't intend to be corrupt at all. In fact, Christianity is more like karate. I think I said this before in a sermon. Karate has been going on for many, many years, and they do the exact same thing over those years. And over those years, those things don't deteriorate. Is it the katan, they call it, when you do something for a belt? Does anybody know? Not sure. But the thing they do is the same no matter what. And it's the same with Christianity. It hasn't changed at all, because it's designed to be an action, and it's designed to be proclaimed, not whispered. And it's the same with communion. We as a church do it once a month, and it's been going on for just under 2,000 years. And it hasn't changed, and the message hasn't changed either. And it's in no way near a Chinese whisper, because it's the same thing over and over again. Last week I gave you a quote. When you choose a church, you are choosing the people you want to have around when you die. And that was by Oliver Home. And the main message from last week was about dying to yourself and becoming more like Jesus Christ, but also that church should be a place where people can die to themselves, where they don't have to worry and they can trust in Jesus Christ. But the thing is, who would have Jesus liked to have died around? Who would he have chosen? Well, we know he chose his disciples. In a sense, he had no choice on the cross, because there were the two thieves next to him. But Jesus chose to be with his disciples. Look at Luke chapter 2. Sorry, Luke 22. And verse 15, Luke 22 and verse 15. "And he said unto them, With desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say unto you, I will not any more eat thereof until it be fulfilled in the kingdom of God." But Jesus Christ desired to be with his disciples when he knew that he was going to die. And it's interesting, the people in there, they would have been very nice people, the disciples, very sensitive people perhaps. People who were funny, you know, would have cheered him up or wanted to cheer him up. But the thing is, he chose them because he loved them. There's a verse in Isaiah 53, it says, "He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted." Jesus Christ decided to die with people who would hit him, who would hate him, and who wouldn't love him. But Jesus wanted to be around his disciples before he died. That shows commitment to them, doesn't it? That he wanted to be with them at this special time, in a sensitive time for him, and he wanted to be with his disciples. Still in Luke chapter 2, look at verse 35. And he said unto them, when I sent you without purse and scrip and shoes, lacked ye anything? And they said, nothing. Then he said unto them, but now he that hath a purse, let him take it, and likewise his scrip, and he that hath no sword, let him sell his garment and buy one. For I say unto you that this is written, I think I've got the wrong verse there, sorry. I'm sorry, I've written down the wrong verse.
Is it 22?
22. Okay, Luke 22, but I've written it down wrong. It's actually not Luke 22 either. So, I'm sorry. Where am I going with that? They wanted to show that it was a commitment because he wanted to die, well, he was going to die and he wanted to be with his disciples. He had something to share with them and important to them. But he didn't have the choice. Well, he had the choice, but he didn't have the choice on the cross to do that. Now, why were they gathered together? They were gathered together for the Passover. And the Passover was an important feast or time for the Jews because they celebrated their freedom from slavery. And not only that, but what God had done to set them free as well by using Moses and things like that. But also the Passover is that when the firstborn of the young died and they had to put the blood on the top of the doors in order to be protected. And it was that protection that they had. And in a sense, Jesus is coming to this Passover and saying, this feast represents me. And have any of you ever gone through a Passover meal before? It would be quite interesting to do that again, maybe, to see how each element represents Jesus Christ. But it's also showing that they're no longer slave to sin. And Jesus was saying that I am the Passover lamb that's going to be eaten and have and sacrifice. But Jesus wanted to spend his last remaining few hours with the people he wanted to die with. Luke 22 and verse 14, if you can go there. And when the hour was come, he sat down, and the 12 apostles with him. And he said unto them, with desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say unto you, I will not any more eat thereof until it be fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And he took the cup and gave thanks and said, take this and divide it amongst yourselves. For I say unto you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God shall come. Verse 19, and he took the bread and gave thanks and brake it and gave it unto them, saying, this is my body which is given for you, and do this in remembrance of me. Likewise also the cup after the supper, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you. But behold, the hand of him that betrayeth me is with me on the table. And truly the Son of Man goeth, as it was determined, but woe unto that man by whom he is betrayed. And it's also a sad time because he's also going to reveal that one of them is going to betray him. And he chose to be with other people. Those last few hours he chose and wanted to be with them. But go back and look at verse 15. He says, with desire I have desired to eat this Passover with you. And this word desire is quite a strong word. In fact, it's only ever used and at the time, in a bad sense. Look over at 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 14. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 14. I'm not doing well with my verses today, I'm sorry. So James 1 verse 14. James 1 verse 14. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. And verse 15. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. And the same desire that Jesus Christ, the same word is used here in the word lust. And it's such a strong desire. It's not to say that what he wanted was bad, but the only comparison we can have is in the bad sense when we lust after things. But also, look at this in a sense equation. It says, lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and when it is finished, bringeth forth death. The lust will always cause something to happen. And what Jesus Christ is desiring is going to cause something to happen as well. It really is going to cause his love for them to die on the cross. So his desire to be with the disciples is really quite important. It means more to him than we could ever understand. because the desire there is so strong. Going back to Luke chapter 22. And verse 15 again. With desire, I've desired to eat this Passover with you. And basically he's saying, I've desired this so much that I'm doing it, and I've arranged it. Remember, he said, go to the man with the upper room. You know, he already pre-arranged it all, and he did everything for them. He wanted to sit with the people who would betray him. He wanted to sit with the people who doubted him. He wanted to sit with the people who didn't believe in him, who would lie about him, but also deny him. And Jesus Christ loved those people. Doesn't that show unconditional love? Doesn't that show a commitment to the people? Jesus wanted to be there for the Passover with his disciples because he assumedly knew that the Passover was important to them as well. But also, Jesus was about his Father's business. We looked at that last week when he ran away from Mary and Joseph. He was in the temple talking to the teachers and the scholars there. And the same thing is happening here. He is about his Father's business. He is doing the Passover, but he's also ministering to those people. And you know what? Just like Mary and Joseph didn't understand what Jesus was doing, the apostles, it says there, were the disciples, they didn't understand what Jesus was doing either. Look in verse 22, Luke 22, 22. And truly the Son of Man goeth as it was determined by woe unto the man by whom he is betrayed. And they began to inquire among themselves which of them it was that should do this thing. And there was also a strife among them which of them should be accounted the greatest. So here Jesus has been quite serious his last few hours, and all they're arguing about is who's going to be the greatest and who's inquiring about it. They really don't understand what Jesus is doing. And I wonder what Jesus feels. I'm not trying to be Jesus, but he loved these people so much that his desire is to be with them, that he's going to die for them. And they're just talking about themselves and who's the greatest and all those sorts of things. Jesus desired to be with these people because he loved them. He didn't desire to be with his mother, his brother or his sister. He desired to be with these disciples. The people that he loved were important to him. Look back at verse 16, Luke 22, verse 16. For I say unto you, I will not any more eat thereof until it be fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And he took the cup and gave thanks and said, take and divide it among yourselves. For I say unto you, I will not drink of the vine, the fruit of the vine, until the kingdom of God shall come. Excuse me, here Jesus is making a promise. And he's showing quite strong because in a sense, I'm not going to eat or drink of the vine until God's kingdom has come. And it's a promise as well that's personal to us because he promises until the kingdom comes that he won't eat or drink. Look at verse 18 again. I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God shall come. Now, when the original Passover feast happened, what happened after the Passover? Then we know back in Genesis. They sang a hymn back in the beginning when they did the first ever Passover. Not the very first thing, but they had a feast. Sorry, I didn't ask the question very well. So they had the Passover and they had a feast to recommend it. And it was after the actual Passover, wasn't it? That they had the feast. They couldn't do it before because it hadn't happened, so they had a feast afterwards. Jesus saying here is that although sin will be dealt with, although he will make everyone righteous in his time and in him, although he will bring salvation, still something has to happen until he can make everything complete. And that is his return again. So until he returns, he's not going to eat or drink or anything like that. And it shows a commitment as well that I'm going to come back. You know, I, in a sense, he's human. He wants to eat and he wants to drink with his people. So he's going to come back in order to carry on like that. Okay, verse 19. And he took the bread and gave thanks and brake it and gave unto them, saying, this is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And here we have the bread. In John chapter 6, Jesus says that he is the bread of life. If you want to go there, actually. John 6, verse 51. John 6, 51. I am the living bread, which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever, and the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. And Jesus says, take this. And he took the bread and he said, this is me. And I would have thought he would be referring back to them, to those verses. And hopefully the disciples would have remembered, but maybe they didn't. He says, I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. He's clearly stating that he is going to give himself to the apostles and to the rest of the world. And that bread, like I said before, is like a symbol, because we have food to sustain ourselves. And in a sense, we need Jesus Christ in that same thing too, to spiritually sustain ourselves, but also physically as well. Look at Job 23, verse 12. Job 23 and verse 12. It says, neither have I gone back from the commandment of his lips, I have esteemed my words of his mouth more than any necessary food. Just as much as we need to take in Jesus Christ as a symbol, but also we need to take his word, more important than that food as well, because we need to trust in him that he died for us on the cross. Go back to Luke 22 and verse 20. Likewise also the cup after the supper, saying, this is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you. And here we have the promise over in Hebrews chapter 9. It says, and almost all things were by the law purged with blood, and without the shedding of blood is no remission of sin. The blood is important because without that there is no remission of sin. There's no payment for sin. In Leviticus it says that there's life in the blood. And it's sad that in order to give us life, a life had to be taken. And today that's really twisted and back to front, isn't it? Because think about it, with abortion and things like that, a life is taken and that's it. There's nothing else happening. Life is just completely ended when the blood is taken. But only with Jesus Christ is life given back to us. Also with communion, we also have Paul's account. If you turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. I always remember chapter 11 is for communion because there are two ordinances the church does, and I look at the 11, the two ones together, so I always remember one of the ordinances. The 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 20. When you come together, therefore, into one place, this is not to eat the Lord's Supper. For in eating every one taketh before over his own supper, and one is hungry and another is drunken. What, have ye not houses to eat and drink in? Or despise ye the church of God and shame them that have not? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this or praise you not? For I have received of the Lord that which is also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And he had given thanks, he brake it, and said, take, this is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And after the same manner also, he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. Do this as often as ye drink it in remembrance of me. And verse 26, for as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. And we do have a special situation in Corinthians, because Corinthians is a book of correction, really. He's trying to correct things, but there are still some principles in it that we can take. One thing I like is at the end of the verse 25 there, verse 26, ye do show the Lord's death till he comes. Every day we need reminding that I need to die to myself daily. I need to know that Jesus Christ died on the cross, and I need to die to my preferences, to my opinions sometimes, and to some of my old beliefs. But we die daily. And as a church, we can come together and use this in the remembrance. Remember I said that it should be a time where we can come together and be safe, that we can die together to ourselves. Communion can be one of those things. If you keep on reading. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. Now, I wonder, what does it mean to be unworthily? Because, in a sense, everyone is unworthy. But everyone has been made worthy by Jesus Christ. So what does it mean? You know, it's always advised that non-Christians shouldn't take it. It doesn't mean that they're not worthy, because Jesus Christ still died for them on the cross. But it means, do we treat this as being worth it, as being worthy or worthful? Do we see it with respect, or do we not see it with respect? That's why we advise non-Christians to take it, because they cannot respect it, because they don't understand what's going on. There's no eliteness in Christianity either. There's no worthy Christians and unworthy Christians, because we're all the same in God's eyes. But the thing is, we should find it worthy. Look at verse 28. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. It's always good to examine yourself. It's always good to check your motives out. Why are you doing it? Why aren't you doing it? You know, when we do communion, someone hands out the cups. I'm going to ask Matt to do it this morning, just to warn you. You know, I always feel, I think I should sit down, because people are looking at me thinking, oh, I should take it. And I always never want to put anyone under pressure or anything like that. But if you don't want to take it, then you don't have to take it. That's fine. It doesn't mean that I'm going to come to you later on or anything like that. But examine yourself. Be in a position where you can change and you can be moved by God in order to take it. And it's not the end of the world. It's not the worst thing, because I think about the missionaries around the world, like the Lyles. They're always travelling to different churches, and they hardly ever take communion. And they said they would love to do it. They'd love to take it. But the thing is that, you know, they're not in a place in one time to take it. But we should be able to take communion every day with ourselves, because we remember that he died for us. Every morning we should remember that he gave his body as a sacrifice. And that our bodies are purchased with that. So we're not sacrificing ourselves, but he sacrificed for us, that we belong to him. But also that his blood gave us life. The loss of his life gave us life. Look at verse 29. But he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. I wonder, and I think really that is a special occasion for these people, or if we ever treat the Lord's Supper wrongly, that would happen to us as well. But just because we're not right with God, I don't think he will put us to sleep. But it shows that our spirit is sick, that our spiritual relationship is sick, if we do take it out of context and if we don't do it right. So I'm going to end with that quote I gave you this morning at the beginning. It says, come to this sacred table, not because you must, but because you may. Come to testify, not that you are righteous, but that you sincerely love our Jesus Christ and desire to be his true disciple. Come not because you are strong, but because you are weak. Come not because you have any claim on heaven's rewards, but because in your frailty and sin, you stand in constant need of heaven's mercy and help. Come not to express an opinion, but to seek a presence and a spirit. Amen.